Molly Kabler and Kitty Labounty, hosts of the long-running and much-loved Garden Show here on Raven Radio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Have you two decided who's going to fight it out and who's going to go first here?
Oh, we never fight. We just start talking about gardens, and then it all just flows smoothly.
It's so natural for both of you.
Well, when you're over 20 years of doing something together, hopefully you've got it down at least to a degree.
We hope so. So we had this long list of things to talk about because both of us are pretty interested in the ongoing health and happiness and beauty and food producing potential of our garden. But we realized we only have 7 minutes, so we're going to like skid through a few topics pretty quickly.
And one of the ones we wanted to start with was a request, and that is, I didn't do anything with my garden all year. What do I do now? And sort of to make it through the winter and be ready to go in the spring. And the short answer is you do the same thing you would have done anyway, and the biggest challenge is the weeds.
Oh my.
Weeds here go all year long. Even when it's frozen and icy, your weeds are growing under there. It is scary. So
weeds,
the best thing to do is weed now.
Yes, weed now and weed often. They really do. I mean, that sounds kind of crazy that the weeds are still growing, but a lot of the weeds that we have in our garden are super well adapted to taking advantage of any little warm-up period. And we have little warm-up periods like all winter long. So I go through and I pull out all of the weeds, all those little weeds, chickweed, some people have horsetail, all sorts of little things like that. Try to then cover the bed with something so that there's not light coming in to help those little seeds to germinate, so there's no space. And by something, I usually use seaweed.
Plastic, remay, anything is better than nothing. And if you want to go ahead and fertilize your bed with not a hot fertilizer, not a nitrogen-heavy fertilizer, but a soil-building fertilizer, put compost in, you could incorporate seaweed, whatever you have ready now, and then in the spring it'll be ready to go. You can turn your bed in the fall, especially if you're not, like most of us, trying to eke out those last bits of vegetables that we don't want to turn our garden over for yet. We're still pulling things.
So one of the things I do try to put in the fall is lime. So lime takes a little while to react with all the little soil particles and all that. So I'll put lime in and then put the seaweed. But my garden really is still going like mad. So talking about putting it to bed almost sounds a little bonkers because there's stuff growing. So this is more like start thinking about this. This will happen. Fall will like hit us and we'll have to do the putting things to bed. But it's never too late to pull weeds or too early.
The other question we got was one about, is it time to transplant shrubs? And this is a good time to transplant shrubs. Really, in Southeast Alaska, well, coastal Southeast Alaska, there's a lot of times that are good to transplant shrubs because the two limiting factors, warm enough soil to reestablish roots and enough water not to dry out when you don't have a lot of roots yet. So the fall generally is a lot of water, so that's a perfect time. You just want to do it soon enough that those roots get reestablished before the cold of winter. And if you end up transplanting a shrub late in the fall, when we have a break in the wet of the winter, if it's a dry spell, water, we don't normally think about that. But a new shrub or tree can really benefit from winter water if we have dry spells.
So one of the questions I got was, can I move a holly, a 6-foot-tall holly, which is, you know, like a precious commodity here.
Well, that's a Christmas plant, too. I mean, you want to make sure it makes it in time for the season, right?
You want it to make it, and you want it to really... You don't want to kill your holly tree. They're really slow growing. You need to have a male and a female to actually have berries. So this is a precious commodity. So I suggested actually that in this case, it might be worth actually paying the money to get someone with some sort of tool, you know, like
a backhoe.
So you could actually get enough soil and all that to move it successfully. With some plants, it just doesn't matter. Rhododendrons, you can yard those things up and drag them around in a tarp. You know, if you actually can physically do it. I mean, some of them are pretty big. So they're not super sensitive, but a holly I'd be nervous about.
The other thing, speaking about rhododendrons, is it's a little late to add nitrogen-rich fertilizers to rhododendrons, but rhododendrons are starting to rebloom, and, you know, oftentimes it's rainy. You might not be out in your garden to notice that this actually happens most years if there's a decent bit of fall. So a fall rebloom is pretty normal, especially small-flowered rhododendrons. The big ones don't tend to do it so much.
I had no idea. And guaranteed, I have not spent a lot of time in my garden either. So I'm thankful to have noticed that myself.
So do you have a large rhododendron or a small rhododendron blooming?
I think the one that I noticed looked, it was pretty large one. I can't tell you about the flowers because the flowers haven't erupted yet.
Oh, okay.
Is that the right term?
That sounds good.
But we do have a small one in our yard that is blooming.
Oh, nice. I've noticed, yeah, my small yellow one, the curlew, and then the purple ones usually bloom every year in the fall. Not quite so many blooms. They're usually smaller. But my one rhododendron that I'm always complaining about how ugly it actually is, at least the flowers look really nice in the fall. The colors kind of tone down a little bit, where in the spring they look like, I don't know, wax. But the leaves are so beautiful, it's worth keeping.
So raspberries. We got a question about raspberries and whether we need to trim them or not. And there's different stories. You don't have to trim your raspberries. But Kitty?
Me? I do prune down my raspberries. So I have one variety of raspberries. I have Chilliwack. And they seem to be pretty resistant to all the rusts and other evils that come around here in terms of raspberry diseases. And I will cut the spent canes, the canes that produce berries, all the way down. And then the new canes, I'll probably trim to about 3 feet, 3 to 4 feet, depending on my general mood at the time. And then they don't get to be quite so leggy and huge the next year.
So I do a different version. I trim my spent canes in the spring. It's super obvious. I actually picked a couple raspberries yesterday, so my raspberry production's still kind of going on, so I don't really want to get in there and trim anything.
Thank you so much, the two of you, for coming in. I have a question, though. I want to know what's happening with the garden show then. What can we look forward to? Is it being put to bed for the winter and resurrected in the spring?
Well, that's typical what happens. It's always a question mark whether we're going to fit back into the schedule, but everybody here is usually gracious, and it's usually starts up again in about March, late March.
Well, we appreciate hearing from you at all times of the year. Thank you so much for being here at the studio. You've been listening to Molly Kavler and Kitty Labonte. They're the 20-plus year hosts of the Garden Show here on Raven Radio. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.